And it's been 25 years since the team's big run to the Final Four. Why did you decide to write this book at this point?
Well, throughout my travels in college basketball with ESPN and now with Big Ten Network and Fox, I would always get stopped by some of the elite coaches around the country. 5 minutes within covering their team, going to their practices, they would inevitably say, "Man, that Flying Illini team, that was one of my favorite teams ever." I mean, Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Bill Self, you know, the best of the best told me that repeatedly over the year. And it got to a point where it was like, you know what, we must have been one of the more memorable teams for these coaches to be remembering these types of things. And guys that were in Grant Hill's era, I played with Grant with the Detroit Pistons, and he would talk about rooting for the Flying Illini. So we had a really, we kind of captivated the country that season with our style of play and the way that we represented the university. And I just thought there's been no historical account of that team.
Now, a lot of sports books I've read through through the years, they tend to be quite vanilla, quite boring at times. And I have to say this one is not. You give sort of a warts and all look at the team and give your views about things. Some would argue you talked about things that maybe should have stayed in the locker room, that there's that mentality in sports that certain things shouldn't be talked about. And it reminds me a bit of even the baseball book Ball 4 in that respect. Is that how you went about writing this book? Did you set out to give that type of view, or did that just come naturally as you started writing?
You know, Sean, you make a great point that typically sports books, I mean, who wants to invest their money in something that's bland? You know, I didn't want people to go to Google or Wikipedia to be able to find out the information that's in the book. You know, I try to do my job in college basketball by telling people something that they can't see with their own eyes. And so when I took the same approach in writing this book that, you know, I figured some of my teammates and coaches, staff would not be pleased with some of the things I said, but they have a chance to write their own book. And this is a way for me to be transparent, because that's how I approach life, is transparency. And I wanted to give people a sense that as special as that team was, there were still issues on that team, and it wasn't all hunky-dory as people may think it was. And so I ruffled some feathers and, you know, made some people mad. But you know what? That's part of the program. That's what happens when you write a book. And I'm pleased with the work. And, you know, I let the work speak for itself.
Now, Lou Henson was the coach of the team, had a lot of success while he was at Illinois. Some might have been surprised to find out that you had quite a what you view as a difficult relationship with Coach Henson at the time. Can you talk about that and why, you know, why that was the case? Why didn't you get along better with the coach?
Well, you know what? I was 18 and 22 years old, and, you know, when you're 18, you have just enough information to be dumb. And, you know, I thought I knew a lot of things. And Coach Henson has been around the block, and he coached several teams. He's lived a long time, and he was trying to make men of us. He wasn't a guy that was going to be your friend. He wasn't trying to develop necessarily a personal relationship until after you finished. But typically, guys that have graduated, they've gone out, and they've experienced life, will come back and start to understand Coach Henson a lot better than they did when they were playing for him. And that was the case with me, in that, you know, a lot of times he would say, "We're creatures of habit." And I just look at him like he was crazy. But as I grew up and as I had kids of my own, all those things started to really make a lot of sense. And so at the time, I was very stubborn. I was very hard-headed. And I thought, you know, some of the things that he said and the way that he pushed me, I didn't really appreciate. Now, looking back on it, I understand. But during that time, it was very difficult for me to get along with him because of, you know, I was running the team. I was a point guard, which he put a lot of emphasis and a lot of responsibility on my shoulders because I had to run the ball club, and that's how he chose to do it. Would I have done it that way? Maybe not, but I definitely understand him far better now as a man with children than I did as an 18-year-old.
And we're talking with Stephen Bardot. He is author of the book Flying Illini, about the 1989 Final Four Illini basketball team. Stephen, you just had a 25-year reunion of the team earlier this year. How were you treated by some of the fellow players and coaches regarding, because this book had already come out at the time?
My teammates, they had no problem with it because, you know, they can understand if they may not have seen some of the situations the same way, but they know that I'm a straight shooter. I've always been that way. And so, my teammates, we didn't have any kind of beef. Ken Norman and I have, which I still haven't spoken with him about that. And then Coach Henson was a gentleman. He's always going to be a gentleman. He wasn't pleased with some of the things that were said. And so, you know, but we're both gentlemen, very respectful. Coach Nagy wasn't pleased. Coach Coombs wasn't pleased. But, you know, I'm a grown man now. And, you know, I'm not really out to be liked. I always want to be respected. If they didn't like what I said, then that's their prerogative, but they still respect me as a man, and that's the most important thing to me.
Why was the 89 team, why was it so highly thought of? You mentioned even some pro players later talked about how they rooted for that club. You know, what was it about that team?
We had a collective spirit of competitiveness that was very unique. There was no game that we were down 19 at St. Louis versus the number 5 ranked team in the country, the Missouri Tigers, and came back and won. We had so many come-from-behind victories. It was just the collective spirit of the team, how athletic the team was, and the fact that I think we had something extra in that we were all from the state of Illinois, and that we took a tremendous amount of pride putting that jersey on and representing the state school and the whole state. And I think people picked up on that, and it gave us a little bit of an edge. And so I think the fans of the University of Illinois, the Fighting Illini, they fell in love with that team because they recognized early on that we were going to give it our all every time we hit the court. We were going to play for one another. We had tremendous talent, but we all kind of gave up a little bit of our individual success for the success of the team. And so it was a perfect storm, so to speak, and that you had competitive drive, you had tremendous state pride among the members, and we played for the team and not for ourselves.
And we talked before we started here how I remember following your career at Carbondale High School, both of us growing up in Southern Illinois, and then, of course, later for the Illini and even into the pros. And while basketball is how many people know you, you do a lot of other work, too. And can you talk a little bit more about what else you do?
Yeah, I do a lot of motivational speaking at the corporate level, but my passion is trying to help young kids, young people. I just think we have so much potential in our young people. They're growing up in trying times. It's kind of the best and the worst times for young people where they have access to all this information on the internet. But yet, my generation, our generation, I think are kind of failing our kids. We're not as strict and tough on our kids as we need to be. And you see the result of that with lower test scores. Our kids compared to other kids around the world are really slipping in terms of academic progress and success. Kids don't feel quite as good about themselves as they once did. And so, I'm kind of one, Sean, that I don't like to complain. I like to do something about it. And so, I especially here in Chicago where I live, the situation for young people, especially kids of color, is dire right now. And so I think that whatever I can do in my corner, I try to do. And so that's really a passion of mine. I think it kind of springboards from my parents working with young people. My dad being an educator at SIU for the last 45 years, that's a passion that runs consistent throughout my family.
And before I let you go, let me ask about another topic that's getting a lot of attention these days, and that involves college athletes. You being a former college athlete, you still cover a lot of college sports. Thoughts about unionizing players or paying players? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I've said this many times, and it's interesting that capitalism is the greatest system on earth, and it works everywhere in the United States except for college athletics. And so I think that there's a way that the student athlete's welfare can be taken care of. I don't know if it's in the form of a union, but there needs to be some changes made in terms of the welfare of student athletes, not only while they're in school, but as they leave and exit, there needs to be some welfare in terms of health insurance and things of that nature. I also think I'm not you know, I'm of the mindset where capitalism can reign. And so if a young man, a young lady has an opportunity to be courted by these schools, you know, let the bidding war begin. Or you could have a stipend system where all revenue-producing sports, all of their members on those teams receive a certain stipend. There's a lot of details and things that need to be worked out in that scenario. But, you know, we can figure out tremendous things in this country. We have tremendous ingenuity, but we get dumb when it comes to college athletics and trying to look out for the welfare of student athletes. I think that's wrong.